use one of these sockets?
I think yes, if you have both.
Sorry?
Yes, you can use it.
Great. So, it's a good thing to have good to the extort packs.
Also be aware that there's now two
AD is running on the same thing, it's the same user, which complicates a few things. But it doesn't matter, it will work. This technology of making it possible to run remote full screen KDE desktop sessions, or windowed KDE desktop sessions, or who wants even clone KDE desktop sessions, over modem links is a great means of feeding more collaborative interaction of different groups of developers. You will see if you install a FreeNIC server on your notebook, and you can have very easily your fellow KDE developers, which you interact with every night or every day on IRC, and where you discuss problems, you can give them easy access to just run the program, have a look at it, and maybe help you fix a bug or help you with discussing the GUI to make it more usable, or give usability people direct access to your latest code so they can look at it and give you direct feedback. Another thing is how we can use it, and there will be a separate talk where we will show a few more concrete examples, because the draw it just pretends to draw and converts all the requests into the NX protocol. NX is an extended version of X, and what it can do is compress the traffic, it can cache what's going on, we can compress the many round trips, which make the traffic very slow. As we have seen with the XNES demo, as soon as there's a 20 milliseconds delay, all this back and forth chatting of the X protocol makes everything very slow. Even if it's not a lot of traffic, but it takes time for awaiting the responses which are required. NX has hardly any round trip, and that's what makes it so fast. Now the local in this client is always an X server. So even if you had an NX client for Windows, it would install an X server for you. You wouldn't see it. It would just be a window on the Windows environment. And on the other hand side, if you want to connect to a Windows application and want to display it locally, we can see it in the next. Fabian, can you go one more? Or one further? This is the overview of how it then works. In the middle, you see the traditional X access. And if you want to access, like in the order of 2 to 5 to 7 fold speed up, if you take together all the effects of caching, compressing, and round trips and flush. For X, for remote X, the added efficiency, or maybe you wouldn't say added, but it's multiplying each other, is up to 70 fold increase in efficiency. More questions? No? The question is it possible to use the same session for two users? No. It is the most requested feature. It will come sometime in the future. Apparently, it's not possible to multiplex or mirror or whatever the original X display. The developers who also released the core libraries of that technology under the GPL. They are from a company called Blue Machine. They say they have got something working, but they're not going to release it because it's not secure currently. And they need to secure it. They will only release it if it's secure enough for them to show. What you can do is, of course, you can connect to a you can let the original display screen scrape by a VNC program and then share that session via VNC. But it's not currently possible with the original X display.
Make sure I understand correctly, this company, Low Machine, has released FreeNX for the server
It's not entirely correct. They've developed the technology. They've released not FreeNX, but the core components of NX. This was one of the anticipated most asked questions which I said before. What's the difference? They've released the NX core libraries, especially the compression technology they developed under the GPL. And alongside that release, that is more than 2.5 years ago now, they've also released command line utilities so you could build peer-to-peer sessions, and on top of the released code, they also developed and sold an NX server which you have to license and you get support for, etc. But they have supported the FreeNX development team to use those libraries and create the FreeNX server with it. Because you could, from the beginning, run peer-to-peer NX tunnel sessions with the same speed as you've seen here, but it was very difficult to use. You needed to know how the technology works to start out with the correct command line parameters, the two blocks, cascading script in those command line technologies and added a few new features so that it works now as it works. So, more questions? Yeah. Can you show the Netflix client? The traffic is compressed, yes. You can also run an uncompress if you want to. I can show you over how to set it in the Netflix client, and maybe in 1 week, tell you what you think. We have one in, which is called KX or whatever, better than we can come up with. If you look at that, the configuration, here's something called enable SSL encryption of all traffic. If you take away that checkbox, or if you disable it, you will have the encryption during the login stage, but later it will not be encrypted anymore. Sometimes you want to have that, because if you run old hardware machines, very old processors, they might be the bottleneck for the encryption, decryption, which is going on all the time. And if you run it in a school, in an environment you trust, you might be safe enough to do it without the permanent encryption. The other thing is the compression. You can also take away the compression. If you see this slide on modem, ISDN, ASDL, up to LAN, local area network basically means there's no compression at all. So you can always use modem, even if you are on a very fast link. What you will see is you have some JPEG artifacts in background pictures, but you will never see pixelized fonts if your fonts are not originally pixelized. You will also have QuickTime fonts if you are using QuickTime fonts. You won't see decrease in the quality of what you are using. More questions? Did I miss something? More questions?
That's it. I remember there used to be an X extension called LBX, open with X. Mm-hmm. It's been around for a couple of years, but there don't seem to be any further development of that. Can you compare an X technology?
In a way, yes, but in a way, not at all. OBX is low bandwidth X, developed by Packard and Jim Gettys, and they tried to create something similar as we see here with NX, but they didn't succeed, and they themselves wrote a paper and they gave a talk at USENIX, I think it was 5, 6, 7 years ago, called the LBX Postmortem, and they said, we failed, and they thought it was not possible without changing the way X applications are developed and written. They thought you needed to have completely different toolkits. And basically what they recommended is not to use LBX. It's still shipped with the X servers. I don't know the latest X also, but it was still shipped with X386. What they said is, if you want to have it fast as you can, use SSH with a minus capital C, which is for compression and X for loading. That's as fast as you can get with our LBX, and it's more secure because it's encrypted too. The LBX didn't solve the security problem at all. Okay, this is some older article where I was quoting that already. More questions?
Basically, the LBX approach was to change the wire protocol to make it more efficient. So a call was an old call, a traditional X call was mapped to an LBX call. And they tried to have just a more efficient protocol, basically. That's one thing. And the problem they got with the applications was that maintain two complete sets which have to be compatible all the time. So it was a big problem for them. But what they completely missed was LVX was optimized for bandwidth usage, so they tried to compress more into the bits of the individual XLib commands. But what they totally forgot was the problem about latency. And X is limited by latency, not by bandwidth. Historically, X was developed on very slow machines, like machines with 1 MIPS of power, really some megahertz running, and but with a very fast network. It was the 10 megabit Ethernet network, basically, or the DECnet they used. But things changed in between. Bandwidth got much better. We all have gigabit and 100 megabit in the local area network, and we also have broadband in the wide area network, but we cannot read physics, so latency, especially in the wide area network, did not improve much, and X really is killed by latency, not by bandwidth.
Okay. I had hoped you will ask the question, or one of you.
Yeah.
So how much... That's one.
I want to know how does this technology compare to the Windows alternative, terminal server, in price level?
The question is, how does that technology compare to Windows terminal server, or maybe Cypress? I have never done it myself, if you're interested in the future, of people saying it's faster than Cypress. They tunnel the five Cypress connections through an MX session, and they say they can see not a revolution rate, but they can see still an improvement in the responsiveness, etc. But one has to say RDP by Microsoft and the Cypress ICA protocol are more efficient, and much more efficient than X11, plain vanilla X11 is a vehicle. You can run remote desktops on ISDN line, and a lot of companies are doing that. A lot of companies are using terminal servers, Windows terminal servers, to have up to 50 people working on one terminal server from maybe their home offices or when they are on the road, when they are in the hotel, etc. Now here is something, what I would take any bet we can do a lot better than 50 or 100. Well, the reason why Microsoft limits it to 50, I don't think there are more licenses per server available than 50 concurrent client access licenses. Maybe my information is not up to date, maybe they succeeded to increase that, but the reason was that from about 100 concurrent sessions on one Windows system, kernel started to become unstable. Maybe that problem of file descriptors or file handles or process IDs or whatever to run against some limit. That's why they limited it, they capped it to 50 licenses, and even then the administrators have a lot of problems, especially if it comes to printing, to have this section stable. And this is a market for Linux and open source software. A lot of organizations are thinking about going to terminal servers when they move away from their Windows individual workstations. And we have got a market here, and we have the possibility with a big Unix with big hardware using Linux servers, and we can run a lot more than 50 sessions concurrently on one Linux terminal server. And now imagine how much flexibility it gives to you if you are working for some company or for some organization. And you can always access the same one regardless of where you are. Just assume you have pervasive networking. I think we will have that in the next couple of years. There will be no spot which you usually visit if you are going into the desert for hiking or for something where there's no wireless network access in the next, I don't know, 1, 2, 3 years. Already now you find a lot of hotspots or other possibilities. Or every hotel room now has a some mobile phone or on GPS. There's some developments already there to make it possible. No machine at the time for solos running Linux. Yeah, we have another thing. Maybe it works even, which will be probably very soon released. Well, it is released already, but which will be used to make possible to run FreeNX test drive sessions. If you go to freenix.values.de/testdrive, there will be this JavaScript plugin load, Java will load, and this upload, if you allow it, will install the MX client binary onto your system, and this will work on Windows, on Mac, and on Linux. You'll have the client, and then, depending on the pre-configuration, already a present connect to the NX server. It could be your company server, it could be whatever. Also, what Fabian is working on is sort of peer-to-peer, or whatever we could call it, the user space domains. What it basically will do is, if you have an account in any box, somewhere, an SSH account, if that box has X, KDE, or KDE, or no, whatever installed, you can just upload the tarball, run one command, and it will start to be an NX server, which is only accessible to you because only you have the key to access it. Because it's like an SSH login, but with a GUI. And this will also be very soon available. And we hope, of course, that the different Linux distros will use it and ship it and make the NX networking technology as pervasive as an age is now.
Cámara se apaga. Ah, claro. Se pone en standby. Debe ser que pues, seguro que hay que pulsar algo de esto de loco, alguna cosa así.
Está grabando. En cinta.
Mira. ¿Y cómo se va a ocupar que no graba en cinta?
Otra vez, dale. Será una opción para que se apague algo.
Ah, mira, pone standby, ¿ves?
Sí.
Ah, ahí tiene que haber una opción.
A ver.
Esto de aquí.
Tiene...
No, es que está en San Miguel, ¿eh? Es que imagínate que puede estar mal. Tiene que haber alguna manera de que no... ¿Cómo sabes que estaba grabando?
Porque hay que poner rec.
Ah.
Estaba antes del tiempo.
Pero hay que poner rec para que... Coño, es que no sé qué coño hace. ¿Vale? No sé, ¿dónde está?
Y yo recuerdo cuando yo tenía una cámara de video normal y quería llevarlo en otro sitio. Que para
ya, esto cita... tiene que meterlo al firewire, no grabarlo.
Yo recuerdo que para que si quieres encendida sin que se apagara solo, hay que ponerlo grabado en cinta o algo.
¿Sí? A lo mejor es eso. Pues entonces lo que hacemos es ponerlo a grabar en cinta y ir grabando encima una y otra vez, con tal de que no se apague. O sea... Si le doy ahora, estoy grabando.
Si le doy, si das antojo, lo puedes grabar.
Está la altura.
Es DCR, es lo que te he dicho.
¿Está grabando esto ahora? ¿Has tomado la cámara ahora?
Sí, o sea, está grabando la presión para que no se apague sola.
Vale, pero entonces necesitamos tintas.
Pero se graba, ¿no? Una y tal.
Bueno, vale, vale. Es una DCR, es lo que te decía.
TRV 33E.
Pues porque está viendo más nuevo y no me va a salir nuevo.
No, es la 33E. Es la 33E.
Sí. ¿Qué es lo que pasa?
Ya
lo estoy mirando la cámara.
Estoy
No lo sé, no lo sé. Que yo no estaba haciendo nada, no estaba delante de ella ahora mismo. Acabo de llegar y era... sí. ¿Qué lo digo? Sí, ya. Vale.
Thank you.
preguntar si estás en la batería.
Yeah, man. Fortunately, I think Carpenter's Institute makes it very robust when it comes to things like buffer overflows. So certain other C-based international clients have suffered from a lot of other lot of security problems due to their bespoke C-based network. And we've got things like advanced features. This is hopefully what you've come to see. I'm going to show you who goes next. The third problem we're facing, and we've only just had to deal with, is the complexity that arises in the user interface when we're in such a complex application. We've got something that looks like a KDE application. It's a fully made up of a KDE environment. However, you've got a lot of options there now, and I'm trying to make those options easy to use to manipulate the status, manipulate your chance across several protocols at once with a few mouse clicks, rather than just compressing all the features of several applications into one application, but you still have to do everything separately. We have to make it possible to control all your instant messaging accounts at the same time. So for KDE 3.5, these are all the things you can expect to see. We've got the status of voice and video functionality. We've got the Skype voice over IP service. That is a proprietary program, it's closed source, and the protocol is encrypted and not rather opaque. So rather than implementing that natively, we have a wrapper around that which uses Skype's D-Bus communication service to remote control the Skype application. That means that although the Skype program has been running at the same time, you need never actually see it. And we've also got some webcam support for the protocols. Here's the first feature. I really apologize, that's awful. That is, that would look better if it was full screen, but I can't do anything about it. In the background, in dark red and black, this is one of my users, you have a conversation happening with Skype using Skype's text protocol. You can't do the see the voice application, but it goes like this. Hi, how are you doing? Well, I'm fine. That's fantastic to you. In the foreground, you can see the information about the call, your Skype balance. If you're using Skype out, you can use Skype out to call a landline from within Computer now. And this is how it's actually working under the hood. You have the Computer window in the background, and you can see that the larger window, the small window in the foreground, is the Skype program itself running. So everything that you type in Computer is first sent to Skype and is then sent out of the network, so you see it compared to two windows, but you can hide it in most windows. And that's the Skype settings. You've got control of the way that the program answers calls, whether it shows information dialogues on the cost of the call after the call. So webcam support. Up until now, if you've been using webcam support, you had two options. You'd either scratch your head or gladly tell the other person to use an open source program which might not have that feature. But these are actually called the screenshot. Now you can use Carpenter to telephone teenage boys. So that's actually in Carpenter's MSN support in KDE 3.5. And bidirectional webcam support, you can receive and send webcams. We've got a generic audio-visual device configuration dialog here. So you can set, you can have multiple webcams if you like, choose between them, multiple microphones, and that gives you a live preview of which device you're watching. 84, we want to take the logging one step further. We're going to work with indexing systems to make it possible to read the context logs in indexing systems like Tenet and Beagle, provide that kind of context information, a log, a chat, to these indexing systems as we talk. And then we're also trying, now that we've got most of the core functionality of the international systems, that we really want to work on a lighter weight application. So Q4 gives us superior threading support for Q's applications. And we're going to see things like looking at a threaded backend where each server process runs in its own thread. That means you get a smoother user interface. At the moment, if you start Computer, you have 6 or 7 international systems, which is unlikely, but some of the people are most critical of ones who actually do have 5 or 10 accounts. If you start Computer in that situation, the core program tends to suffer a little bit, so it's getting an awful lot of signals as it connects, slows things down quite a lot. So threading is one solution. We're also looking at taking the KIP interface, the KIP proxy interfaces, and applying those to the individual network backends, so that they're running separate programs called communicating up with Computer independently. You get a very smooth GUI. That would cause some problems with implementing that. It's going to be very complex interface communication process, but we'll see what we can do. And that's it. That's a little diagram there of one of the possible structures that we're talking about for the new system. So you've got individual processes at the top talking through a middleware library that then communicates events to the core application. Thank you for listening. Thank you for patience. Does anyone have any questions?
Are and what you would actually use it for.
So incompetent means you have to go and you have to say, and this person, incompetent work, is this person, Kelly Dress work, which is manual and can't be done very systematically. The new architecture we're looking at doing is making the Kelly Dress book itself be the locus of that information, that binding, so that competent would just, firstly, when you store them in the KDE address book as contacts. Whether there's another problem there, I'll come back to that. Then having done that, it just reports status changes as the actual object in the messaging system. And then it's up to contacts to say, okay, xyz@aol.com is Matthias, and then we change Matthias' status display and contact. There's a bit of a fan out problem there because we're not trying to generate contacts, so the address book duplicate contacts and then have to cohere them again into single contacts. And that's trying to be happening with this. But if anyone's got any suggestions, I could do that better. I'd love to hear about it.
The Skype support will work on 64-bit distributions as Skype is only 32-bit.
Does Skype run Amazon 32? I know it runs fine on my
Do you know if the support for Skype will work?
Yes, because it's all it's doing is sending strings to Skype program and the deal. So if the Skype program runs the content runs, then it's the Skype expression also. The debus communications between the two is the most horrible remote API that you ever saw, but it doesn't actually work.
Lo más básico igual sí, no me acuerdo.